Where'd you get those shoes? Easy. They're from DSW. Because DSW has the exact right shoes for whatever you're into right now. You know, like the sneakers that make office hours feel like happy hour. The boots that turn grocery aisles into runways. And all the styles that show off the many sides of you, from daydreamer to multitasker and everything in between. Because you do it all in really great shoes. Find a shoe for every you at your DSW store or DSW.com.
The search for truth never ends. Introducing June's Journey, a hidden object mobile game with a captivating story. Connect with friends, explore the roaring 20s, and enjoy thrilling activities and challenges while supporting environmental causes. After 7 years, the adventure continues with our immersive travels feature. Explore distant cultures and engage in exciting experiences. There's always something new to discover. Are you ready? Download June's Journey now on Android or iOS.
Head to Safeway this week for these amazing deals for members. Mix and match 1 pound strawberries or 6 ounce blueberries, raspberries, or blackberries for $2.99 each when you buy three. Take advantage of this exclusive digital deal. USDA Choice Boneless Beef Tri-Tip Roast Untrimmed Twin Pack, $3.97 per pound, limit one package. Visit Safeway.com for more details. See you in the aisles.
97.1 FM Talk. On demand audio.
New governor of Missouri taking the oath of office, Mike Kehoe.
In the coming weeks, months, and years, my administration will be relentless in our efforts to make Missouri a place where it's easier to be a cop than a criminal.
You know, so I was mentioning to you earlier, Mike Kehoe, yeah, that should be the priority. But here's a guy, and I really do sense that he is humbled by this new role that he has as governor of Missouri.
And I will never forget where I came from. The sixth child of Lorraine Kehoe, a single mom who often struggled to raise her family in North St. Louis City.
Think about that, and then we saw some video images of Mike sitting down behind his new desk, you know, signing some things, and that's a major responsibility. And it's interesting because we do have a period, even in an era of a lot of division with politics, where a lot of Democrats in Missouri have high hopes for Mike Kehoe. Scott Fawn is with us. He's the host of This Week in Missouri. He's a Inside Jeff City guru. Fawn, how are you on this Monday? How cold was it out there?
Cold here in Jefferson City, the capital of Mike Kehoe's Missouri.
I was talking to Sue earlier. I covered one of these damn things. One time I went for Ashcroft's inauguration. It must have been, I'm guessing it was 88. Just froze my ass off. Out there,
terrible.
In Jefferson City. Yeah.
It cannot be more miserable out right now. But I tell you, it felt like a real homecoming of Republicans. Republicans that have been out putting those signs up, listening to your show, putting things on Facebook, all those folks that maybe they're not that loud, maybe they don't complain all that much, but the folks that actually helped Republicans get elected, it was a wonderful homecoming of people, just common sense folks who want a better Missouri. It was really a terrific feeling, because, I mean, let's be honest, there's not one person in the state that knows more people personally than Mike Kehoe, and I'm pretty sure half those folks made it to Jeff City today.
So what's the anticipation of the climate as the session starts with, you know, a few years of division and some things that have gone on in the Senate in particular that we've all covered, and there's been disagreements and, you know, the word rhino's been used back and forth, blah, 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 blah. But there's an anticipation here that maybe some more adults are in the room now, Scott?
I think what you're seeing is the natural evolution of a governor. A governor is going to start off very engaged with the legislature. Now, typically, that wanes over time. It gets harder the more time you do it. But Mike Kehoe has a honeymoon. I mean, he won a convincing win in the primary, won a landslide victory in the general. He has a mandate for things, and he's going to try to do the serious big things. But, I mean, look, a lot of times people want – I think your expectations matter. Mike Kehoe is a conservative that actually wins. He's not just going to whine enough. If you're looking for a whiner on Facebook, he's not your man. He's your man to go actually put big wins on the board, but he's going to do it the way you have to do it. The way you actually succeed is quiet conversations, is working hard, having a good plan. And I think your listeners, the real winners of today are the folks that can hear this radio station. We Hicks don't like to admit it. I'm just white trash hillbilly from the Boot Hill. But if there's a road built in West Butler County or free cheese, St. Louis pays part of the freight on that. We don't like to admit it, but it's true. And the number one thing that could make this state better, more flush with resources, is a better producing St. Louis. And I think it's clear the one thing that you have to do in order to get to that place is you have to address crime. And so on day one, Mike Keogh came out with executive orders for a crime plan to be put in place. I believe he's coming for state control of the police department, and I'll give you a prediction. Yep. It's my side of knowledge. He'll get it.
Yeah. No, I think so. I think this is going to be successful at this point. You know, one of the things, going back to your comment about him wanting to get things done, and I've never wanted to make this personal. I know Bill Eigel. I've known him for a long time. I like Bill. But, you know, a guy like Bill Eigel wasn't going to approach some of these situations like Mike Keogh, and you didn't really need a rabble-rouser in there. You need someone who can build consensus. Now, I mentioned in the intro that there's a lot of Democrats that have high hopes. That tends to make some, you know, more conservative Republicans say, ooh, you know, that's a problem if the Democrats like him.
Hey, football fans, it's Andrew Filippone, host of the First and Pod podcast. Join me and my co-host, three-time All-Pro Patrick Peterson, as we break down every game every week. New episodes drop on Monday and Friday mornings. Be sure to subscribe on the Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.
I mean, you know, take it issue by issue. Look, if somebody agrees with you all the time, they're just pandering to you, and you're a sucker. I mean, you're going to disagree with anybody that actually accomplishes stuff. If you just want a demagogue to sit on Twitter and whatever trends with right-wingers, tweet that out and agree with it, but never accomplish anything, that's easy to do.
Well,
anybody
right.
can
yeah.
do that.
And that was kind of my point about Bill, that, you know, somebody at one point, Scott, had said, you know, raise hell, Bill. And as long as I've known Bill Eigel, and you've known him too, he's raised hell. But what have the accomplishments actually been along those lines?
I'll give you a prediction, Mark Greer, and I actually think Bill Eigel was not meant to be a legislator. Bill Eigel was meant to be an executive. And if Bill Eigel would have been the leader of the Senate, I think he would have done very well. If Bill Eigel's not in charge of it, he's going to be tearing it down. I think if he runs the party, he'll do very well. I think if he's St. Charles County executive, he'll be very successful. I think Bill's natural talents are that of an executive, as I would say Mike Keogh has a set of talents that I think can cross over. I mean, honestly, Mike Keogh is the best prepared person to be governor maybe in the history of this state, but sometimes you can maybe be too prepared. And I think what's going to be interesting is to see the man that is more prepared to be governor than anybody I've ever seen, how he does. But I tell you, I think he'll get early wins. I think he's decided those early wins are going to come in making St. Louis a safer place. And I would assume if you're a Democrat, if he could actually do that, I believe he can pass the legislation. I don't know that you can actually accomplish rolling back crime in St. Louis, but if you can, I think he'll do it. And if you're a Democrat, I'm sorry. I think Democrats' cars get stolen too, right? Democrats get shot.
Oh, they
too.
Do.
Maybe
Absolutely.
More than Republicans in St. Louis.
What is Mike
so
Parsons? What is Mike Parsons' legacy?
He cleaned up the mess he inherited. He made this state proud. He did not embarrass this state. He signed a bill that limited abortions. He cut taxes five times. He rebuilt I-70. I think Mike Parsons has an actual substantial resume. Mike Parsons was never going to be the guy that got on Facebook and called people, you know, owning the libs or whatever. He wasn't going to call fellow Republicans names.
No, he wasn't.
He was going to accomplish stuff. And I think if you look at the level of accomplishment, my God, I mean, he packed a lot in 6.5 years, saw us through COVID, let local governments make their own decisions, one of the best policies in the state. He did less than almost any governor in the nation on COVID. I thought it was great. I just think government's not the solution. It's usually the problem. So I think Mike Parson could hold his head up extremely high.
Yeah, I think I'm glad you pointed toward COVID, because I do think he did a great job managing that, especially compared to other states. Scott Faun is here. He's the host of This Week in Missouri. Let me just kind of, this gets to be insider baseball, but this whole selection of John Patterson as speaker and what happened last week, it didn't seem to be in the end a big issue because he won overwhelmingly. But explain some of that nuance and what happened here in St. Louis with Justin Sparks.
Okay, Justin Sparks is a younger, I think he's only in his second term. I don't know that there was a lot of logic behind what he did. I think he made kind of an emotional decision Monday after the elections to run. I personally didn't see a lot wrong. I mean, run, yeah, you got elected to the House. Nothing keeps – you could. Everybody in the House could have ran for Speaker and just saw who won. So I actually don't mind that. I think where he got off, he started calling people corrupt for raising money. Well, if you know Ben Keithley – or if you're listening to this and Phil Olerking is your legislator, the money that caucus raised saved them. They outspent the Democrats 20-30-1 in those seats, and they only won by a few votes. The Republicans raising money to help elect other Republicans I don't think is corrupt at all. If it is, there's not going to be anybody but Justice Sparks left. I think he's a young guy who's passionate about the pro-life cause. And, you know, I think this was, as I said on your show when this first happened, This was all a charade. This was much ado about nothing. I think Representative Sparks wanted some attention, and he got some attention. But I don't think any—I don't think it has any serious impact on anything. Now, he may a strategic move would be to marshal his forces, complain about everything, say nothing's quite good enough, and run for floor leader or run for speaker against Alex Riley. I think the person who's probably going to bear the brunt of this is the floor leader who's running for speaker, and Alex. If he's smart, he'll bide his time and try to take that fight on. But we'll see. I mean, he's a young guy. He got 10 votes. That's not nothing to sneeze at.
Are you going? Do you have your tux on? Are you going to the big party tonight? What's going on? Are you going to dance? Are you going to have a good time?
I went black suit. Casey said I could go black suit, so I went black suit. I'm going to go to Andrew Bailey, your buddy, and John Patterson's event. And then I may cut a little rug. You never know. Depends on if anybody's got any moonshine here.
I remember when I was going back to the Ashcroft thing. Remember, you couldn't. They didn't allow dancing, right? Wasn't there a religious reason where dancing wasn't even permitted at the ball?
I would be talking about the Ashcroft years. Yes. There was not a lot of smiling.
Yeah.
That happened during the Ashcroft years. It was what was the old saying? When Kit was governor, you went to the mansion for a drink. And when John was governor, you left the mansion needing a drink.
Yeah, that's about right. Let me take you off politics for one reason, because I know you're a passionate Cardinals fan. Let me just ask the question this way. What the hell? What would you say, Fawn?
I've seen this before. I think John Mozeliak has had a great tenure. I think he deserves a red jacket. But he stayed far too long, and that's the truth. The plans he articulated, even at the end of season, you knew they were going to waste another year when you kept Mozeliak and Marmol. Mozeliak, Marmol, and you're in the squishy middle. And so this is a wasted season. And I think that but the plan they laid out after the season was to prepare, use this season to prepare for next season. Trade guys, get younger players. They haven't even done that. They've done nothing.
Nothing.
Now,
that's,
you know,
that's
there's
my
time
point.
To bail it out, but God, it's just depressing. I mean, I don't think there's any fan that can actually tell you what this team's plan is with any kind of confidence, because I'm not sure that they have one. I think Mozeliak went in and tried to do his plan, and then he couldn't pull the trades off. So now they're going to try to win, I guess.
I keep thinking here, and this is we depend on baseball to entertain us, and we look forward to baseball. I'm not looking forward to baseball because I think it's going
to
be the whole season.
My mental health.
Well, right, and our mental health is going to be in jeopardy here in the next 2 years. Fawn, that's my concern.
I couldn't be more depressed.
I know.
I'll tell you this, as a Cardinal fan who loves the Cardinals, probably obsessively too much. I'll tell you this, if you told me, hey, we got to tear down, this is not working. Everybody knows it. So we got to trade some guys. We're going to be bad in 25, but we're building to a goal. I'm a Cardinal fan. I'm like, cool, let's do it.
We're educated.
But you haven't done that.
Right.
You've done nothing.
No, I think that's part of my point. I'm glad you raised that, because I think that the fan base, they are educated, and they understand it's going to take a little time, but good Lord, you got to give them something.
Well, you know, the truth of the matter is, you know, Bill DeWitt's been a terrific owner. But you've let a person run the franchise who had success. And again, I'm not a Mozeliak hater. I try to look at his career in total.
Yeah.
But let's be honest, this has not worked for a while. And he should have been a senior advisor. This Chaim Bloom comes, you know, well regarded. Folks like Bernie talk him up. I think you should have got a new manager and a new GM. And it's not, look, I think Marmol's just slightly below average. But the fact is, you get a new, you got to do something to pivot forward. You cannot pivot forward the last folks.
Yeah, because I don't think you have a lot of confidence that if you and I are sitting here a year from today, that this situation is going to be a whole lot better. And that's what I think is even more sad.
I think that's exactly right. I think this is an absolute wasted year. I think that the team will be right there in that squishy middle, somewhere between 78 and 82 wins. I think I watch a lot of the other people in the media fall all over themselves to compliment Marmol and come up with statistics, say he's not that bad. I mean, I think some of the media would be better being Pittsburgh Pirates fans. They'd be much happier. Or Seattle Mariner fans or Tampa Bay Devil Ray fans. Being a Cardinal fan means you strive for the best every year. And I don't think anybody at Busch Stadium can say they're striving to be the best right now, or even have a five-year plan to be the best.
Well,
they have no plan, no direction. And it's all I can do to keep him jumping off the Missouri River Bridge when I think about it.
I'm glad that we ended the interview on a very positive note, Fawn. Have fun tonight at the inauguration. Thanks for jumping on here with me this afternoon.
Thanks, buddy.
All right, take care. But, you know, we talk baseball. We always talk baseball with our guests. Jennings loves to talk baseball. It is very depressing because we're going to be in this period where, and you know how big of an NFL fan I am, but the Super Bowl is going to be in a few weeks, and then what? College basketball, okay. And then what, Sue?
Because I understand.
Fred, I don't think you depend on this. Like Fred and I, no. This is our entertainment font. It's our entertainment. We need it. We didn't have it for much of last year, and we're worried that the next 2 years are going to be pretty bleak.
Mm. Well, he actually put it quite well. The squishy middle. That's it.
And the squishy middle is no fun.
No.
It really isn't any fun whatsoever. We'll take a break. We're coming back here with audio cut of the day on 97.1 FM Talk. Hang in there.
Get more at 97.1talk.com.